Interview with the Podcast Vampire is a retrospective on the filmography of living legend Tom Cruise. Hosted by Dale underscore A, Jonesy Loves Beer, and Slim.
John Woo, Tom Cruise, The Ultimate Match, Mission Impossible 2. The year 2000. Those two stars come together. How about another star? Paula Wagner. Tom Cruise's sister.
Absolutely. Do not cut that out. Leave it in.
Paul Newman's sister.
Paul Newman's sister.
Listen, you come here for the best. You got it. Okay? We're about to talk Mission Impossible 2, the year 2000. Jonesy Loves Beer. Everyone knows you're the insider, the Hollywood insider.
And people have called me that.
We need to get the nitty gritty for MI2 action spy film. Tell us about it.
I want to talk to you about, you know, Metallica, I Disappear. You know, I want to talk to you about Take a Look Around.
Bam, wow.
I want to talk to you about the MTV Movie Awards short starring Ben Stiller as Tom Cruise's stunt double on MI2. Mm-hmm. This movie was hype before that was a word that we all used and hated. I mean, this was the first ramp up to any modern movie that I was like in for. I'm like, it's...
Do you remember the other Ben Stiller short with Andy Dick where they were in the Backstreet Boys? Yeah. My God. I haven't thought about that since the year 2000. And you just brought it back to me.
Remember when that was a thing? Get like the IT sitcom stars to do a funny skit-like video? Remember there was one for Aerosmith at the Super Bowl? Like, that was a thing back then. That was a genre on its own, right?
Different time.
Thank God.
I could picture the historical Medium article now about that. What that time in television?
Remember when Ben Stiller was a star? My article next on The Verge.
My God, rest in peace.
Now he's hawking Samsung foldable phones. So this film, I remember skipping college. Sorry, Mom. I mean, rest in peace, my mom.
But didn't go
to college that day to see this movie.
Wow.
I saw it with a guy I went to college with. For some reason, I picked like the worst person to go see it with. But I saw it as a matinee. I needed to see this movie. Mm. Got myself, a chicken sandwich. Smuggled it in. You know,
nice.
Didn't pay for that expensive. I was in college, so didn't pay for that expensive theater food.
I do that today.
And I watched Mission Impossible 2. And
you dog.
I think I couldn't have been more disappointed after seeing MI2. I will say there is no bad Mission Impossible movie, but this is definitely the least best. Of all seven films.
Jonesy thinks so low with this movie, he didn't even want to give us a synopsis on the film.
Yeah, I haven't even synopsized it yet.
Right, he just life synopsized us. that's it.
I actually thought the story of me getting excited for it and watching it was better than the plot of this film.
The Chimera.
So, yeah, this is like typical James Bond, like borrowed plot, evil people want to get a hold of a virus and sell it on the black market, and Tom has to put together a team to stop it. I felt like this team...
That's actually pretty on point, Jonesy. I had never thought of that, but that's absolutely just a plot of a James Bond movie.
Yeah, it's like steal two nukes and hold the world hostage. I mean, like, it's not... I mean, compared to the first film, which was kind of almost this intimate road trip movie that also doubled as a spy movie, this movie was the total opposite, a total 180 of the first movie. You know, I think I was in love with John Woo after The Replacement Killers. I'm ready for this movie. I loved MI1. It's been too long since we had it. You know, like, is this the new franchise? I'm just excited about everything. And this movie was just, I mean, it's beautifully shot. I mean, nobody can say that this movie isn't physically gorgeous to watch. But as far as content, it's the most lacking of the entire franchise. Mm-hmm. I thought the action mm-hmm. was gaudy because that's John Woo. That he was hired to do that, right? He can't be mad now at 2019 being like, John Woo, why would you do that? That's why they put him in the chair. But now we have the more modern Mission Impossible, where it's built on practical big set pieces. You know, it's meant to be the last franchise that really does it the old-fashioned way, like the Indiana Jones way, like the way of Schwarzenegger and True Lies, just like these big action, real people doing real stunts, and, you know, to its benefit. That's what the franchise is for me, anyhow. But this film was not that. That being said, this film, I believe, was a big hit for Paramount. So I'm glad this exists because it paves the way for 3, which is, we all know, the kicking off point to some of the best 3 movies ever made. MI3, MI4, Rogue Nation. I mean, there was a time where I would
skip college.
I would subtitle everything with Mission Impossible subtitles. I think I did that in our group chats for a long time. I mean, this franchise
was
great.
It was actually great.
So, I mean, I believe I still say things like going to preschool, Ghost Protocol.
It set off the next 4 movies, because I think technically you got 3, 4, 5, and then 6. Because Fallout is 6.
Oh, you're right, because Fallout closes the loop on his wife's storyline. So,
God, how amazing. Can we just segue just for 1 minute?
Step, yeah.
Fallout.
Amazing.
Unreal. The closure between those two in that moment. I was just openly weeping alone in the theater at a midnight showing of Fallout because it was so beautiful.
Did you go to a midnight release of Fallout?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I went at night because I remember when I got back to the Jeep, there was no car in the lot.
That's awesome.
Went to the movie tavern.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay. Unbelievable that they would pull everything back. And then you point out to me, how about one character was the daughter
of
Max. Female lead from the first movie. Yeah. Yes. And I will say this, not to segue too much. I am slightly nervous that they're doing 2 more, like, I guess, back to back for the next Mission Impossible, the same team. Like, I kind of just like, I don't know. I'm worried that like they might not make something as good, because, you know, it's hard to make something that good.
Yeah.
Can they do it again twice?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you always have the good and what you have, but it's hard to catch that lightning in a bottle, you know.
Yeah.
Every one you do, you increase your chances of it not being as good, for sure.
How about the female Rebecca Ferguson? She needs her own like spinoff movies. I hope she's in both of those new movies.
I think she was so good in Fallout, and was it Ghost Protocol or Rogue Nation? Ghost Protocol.
Rogue Nation. Rogue Nation.
She was so good in Rogue Nation and Fallout that I think she could shoulder her own movie.
Absolutely.
Like, she could be the female face of MI. You know? In my opinion, she was, I mean, action scenes great. You know, she can kind of hold her own with Tom. Like, if they ever had, if Tom, I mean, we all know that poor Tom set up Jeremy Renner to take over and then was like, oh, I'm not quite done yet. But if he was, if you
the
were
the greatest trick ever pulled.
And then, I mean, they did the same thing, the poor kid with the fourth Bourne movie. He was like, okay, I'm the new Bourne. No, Matt Damon's coming back for 1 more. Oh, okay, all right, okay, I'll step aside. Oh my God, I'm the new Ethan Hunt. You know, Tom is coming back for 1 more. Oh yeah, okay, no problem, I'll step aside.
Just 1 more?
Yeah, just,
is it just and one
then
more?
I'll be, then I'll come back, right? No, you're not.
Jeremy Renner was so hot for like a period of a year and a half when Avengers came out. He was the hottest S in the country for some reason. I just pulled up my Fallout Letterboxd. There was a, when he meets up with Ferguson again, in, I think for the first time, it might have been in that tree scene where they're like crossing paths in that beautiful scene. He's like, you should have stayed out of the game. And she goes, you should have come with me. Like, oh my God.
Palpitations.
Are you kidding me right now? God, they deserve each other. You know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe the only one that could truly understand him, you know?
Mission Impossible 2. The first thing I thought of when I was rewatching this was Doug Ray Scott, the main villain. The only thing I remember about Doug Ray Scott is that he was like allegedly one of the original people cast as Wolverine.
Yes, but he did not take the role because of this movie and they hired Hugh Jackman. I always remember that bit of trivia.
He took the role, but Mission Impossible 2 was so late in filming. Like it took so long, like over schedule, that he couldn't be Wolverine.
Wow. Mm. Interesting. Well,
which also, to tie that in to where my Lord of the Rings boy's at, that's the reason why Ian McKellen could be Gandalf, because Mission Impossible 2 went over filming so long that they couldn't start with his stuff with Magneto, so he was allowed to be Gandalf. Him and Bryan Singer and Peter Jackson like worked it out.
Wow.
Wow.
I just read a book on that, so yeah.
Dicks out, you know, whatever.
The rock climbing scene to start this movie. Tom is rock climbing without a rope. It sets the stage for the entire movie. One false move, he is dead. Mm-hmm. He's 100% dead. And he almost does croak. He like slips. And it's the famous scene where Ben Stiller also parodied that Jesse was talking about, where he flips around and is like holding onto the rock with his like his back is facing the rock, but he's looking out and he's grinning.
Oh,
like,
God.
You're a psychopath. You should be dead right now. What are you grinning about? Like, there's, just like, excuse me out. And then MI calls him.
Launches the biggest, fakest missile, like Ray-Ban delivery device at him. It's like a missile from the Naked Gun or something that they fire at him.
I think that was the Fred Durst cameo. You know, Limp Bizkit tied so intimately with this soundtrack. I think that was him that fired the Ray-Ban rocket into the ground.
If I can be frank, it sounds great. That song, that Limp Bizkit song.
I mean, the soundtrack.
In the intro of this movie, I love it.
The soundtrack to the first one's great. Soundtrack to this one is great. I mean, This is definitely not the least best in my soundtrack.
Anthony Hopkins getting paid probably millions of dollars for maybe an hour of work.
Yeah, maybe 11 minutes. Let's be honest.
I mean, an hour of filming. He's on screen for maybe 2 minutes entire movie, but man, he probably got paid so good.
And it just picture the gravitas it brings to a Mission Impossible sequel, because the first one, you know, in our hearts was good enough to kick off a franchise. I don't know if it went over gangbusters, but they felt, you know, they believed in it enough that they could bring it back and maybe do another one. But they had to bring in, like, if they brought in Sir Anthony Hopkins, just think about the, you know, the names attached to that. You're going to get production money.
The cash.
The
car chase scene with Thandie Newton between these two. The very sexual car chase scene.
I haven't seen
where
that.
Where the cars are locked together and they're spinning in the dirt and they're just looking at each other in slow motion. I'm motioning my hands as if to signify that scene.
And instead of us flippers. Helping the audience, we're just like nodding at the screen like, yes, that's right.
And I just remember just in that scene, Tom, like a lot of unnecessary shots just so he could whip his hair around in the movie. Like in one part of the car chase scene, he's like, he whips left only so he could whip his head further right. Like there was no reason he needed to look left. For safety's sake, he shouldn't have looked left. So he whipped his head right, but he needed that full like owl 360 motion to get that hair whipping.
What's the role on set? Is it the gripper or the best boy that's supposed to like keep track of things like in motion, like that isn't in the right place? I picture you on set, like no one listening to you. Like, you know, guys, that I don't think that makes sense for him.
They're
to
just
move
like
his
roll,
head that way.
Go, nope. Action. I'm just like old Dale getting ignored again in life. Yeah. That would totally be me. I'd just be so uptight about it, my cheeks clenched, and then, you know, when they discover it in editing, I would just be shaking my head. And I would even try to say then, Well, you know, I tried to say, but I would get ignored even yet again.
Like when he kicks the gun up from the dirt, like straight up in the air. Guys, I don't think that looks, that's not possible. That's not physically possible. That's not how it should sit in the, no? Okay.
Doug Ray just fired at Tom 6 times during that scene, during that kick up.
Just picture you walk around with your little field notes pad and you're like jotting down things and you're just pointing at people with your pencil and they're not listening to you.
Right. It's a I just have pads of notes and it's just a complete waste because nobody, like, how am I even still getting paid because I don't exist on the set of a movie? I wouldn't exist, but I would just get paid.
Just constantly taking off his glasses in frustration and putting them back on.
I took a bunch of notes for this movie, but for whatever reason, my note taking app didn't save, so I missed a large chunk. But I did have one quote that Doug Ray says, or his friend, his like jealous friend, his number one, who doesn't trust Sandy the second she enters his life again. The quote is, "Gagging for it." Do you remember, was it Doug Ray who said that quote,
no,
or his friend?
His friend said it, and then Doug Ray like spit it back in his face. I am like, gagging for it.
Yeah, he's got this weird accent. I guess it's not weird. It's probably like Australian or whatever, New Zealand. But who says gagging?
Sorry,
for
our
it?
Friends in New Zealand.
Sorry, our
sorry.
Our
please
New
do not
Zealanders.
Take offense, especially if you do say gagging for it. Yeah, it was
like,
odd.
Is that a local thing? It took me out of the movie. I'm like, what did he say?
Yeah, yeah.
Gagging it for it. She's gagging for it, Doug Ray.
Doug Ray.
Jail in the background. Actually, no one says that. So can we cut
that? Just like staring around, like staring at people, hoping they notice me, you know?
No? Okay. No, never mind.
My hard, my field notes would be my note-taking app at the time.
You're
just
like crossing out, gagging for it like 10 times. Oh, so those two's relationship was pretty effed up. And then how he sticks it to his friend because he's angry that he doesn't trust Thandi, puts his finger in that like cigar cutter, and he's got like a really long fingernail in that scene. How about that? Like,
yeah,
your fingernails.
Yeah, unless Coke you're shovel. Playing unless you're playing flamenco guitar, you don't need nails that long. Not necessary. And
totally unnecessary.
They should just be more wary of that when doing close-ups.
And then when he finally did like snip the cigar thing on his finger. So I was like, on the rewatch, I was like, did he just cut his nail? Because it was long. Or did he cut his finger? And then he's like wearing a little like wrap over his finger.
It's just weeping and bleeding the entire movie.
And that guy gets like one of the most intense death scenes at the end of this movie because they have like this plot and classic MI plot at the end that's like involving trickery. And they end up kidnapping, quote, Tom and putting, like, you know, tape over his mouth. And Doug Ray, like, murders Tom. But he ended up, like, taking the mask off and it was his friend, his number one. I was like, oh, my God, you got effed, man. Holy cow.
Yeah. Like, you imagine that friend just watching Doug Ray just shoot you in the chest 6 times. Like, as it's happening, you're just like, I can't tell you, but I'm not Tom. I'm not Ethan Hunt right now.
How about him? They pulled the mask. I think they pulled the mask off, and in real life, he had like tape over his mouth, and that's why he couldn't tell.
Yeah,
that's why he couldn't speak. Like, I just made me wonder, like, how does the mask conform to the tape correctly at that point? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't sense. Like, it's obviously like some sort of magic. Something's happening, but there's no. You can't see like if Tom's mouth is half open. You can't see like the tape behind it or something.
So Thandi, they want this like poison, and then someone has the antidote. So instead of like having them use the poison, she injects herself with it, and like so she has a countdown from when Tom can kind of like save her. And there's actually this really, I thought the scene was shot really well, where like the scene where she is injected, and they're like having a shootout with Thandi in the lab, and He realizes in his own way that like I can't save her, and she even says it like, you can't save me, you have to, you know, come get me later. He like sets his clock for like, you know, 12 hours, whatever. The music of that scene is really well done.
Yeah,
everything in that scene is very well done. But I really think he could have left with her. Like, he jumps out the window and then like throws his chute. If she just like locks her fingers around his back, they could get out of there at the same time.
Yeah, crazier stunts and life-saving has been done,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, but this, for some reason, this wouldn't work. He only could have enough weight or whatever for one.
Yeah.
Seemed like a cop-out.
Big cop-out.
Speaking of sound and just that whole vibe, like, when he first goes to recruit her because of her thieving skills, that mariachi band and them and the dancers like stepping on the floor, that that whole aural experience while she was kind of burgling was beautifully done, and it was a great scene. And I went into it like starting there, I'm like, because I always remember having like a negative attitude about MI2. I just didn't remember quite why. And for most of the movie, my attitude was pretty positive about it. But then I just started thinking more and more on it. And by the time the movie was over, I was like, yeah, this I can remember why. It was just a negative. It was just a poor experience. But
yeah, like at the time, I don't remember what I thought at the time.
Yeah,
like at the time, you'd be like, yeah, that was pretty fun. But then like, you see other better action movies and you're like, actually, yeah, maybe that's not that good.
Yeah, that's a great point. I wondered too if it were just a product of its time, and maybe it was cool at the time because, you know, with Tom Cruise's time hair, you know, year 2000 hair and stuff like that, it was just, it fit, right? And John Woo was big at the time, and for him to do an American movie, it was just like, that's what everybody was clamoring for. So that Mission Impossible franchise got John Woo, you know, because you got the John Woo fanboys who were probably pooping themselves because of it.
Pooping their VHSs over there. Like Jonesy with his Replacement Killers. Oh, tapes. Man.
What a great film. Chow Yun-Fat. Ever heard of him?
I have.
Mira Sorvino. Beautiful. Ever heard of her? Bad baby, you haven't.
Bad choice. How about the motorcycle scene at the end where they're racing at each other and they're like playing a game of chicken and they jump off the motorcycles and catch each other in the air? Oh my God.
How about the thing I thought about the motorcycle scene was it was like 10 minutes too long. It just felt like that. they used that motorcycle set piece as like a huge crutch for the movie. Like it was going to all boil down to this action sequence on the motorcycle, and the editing was kind of poor. And it was just too long. It didn't feel worthy of this grand finale.
Yeah.
It was like a mid scene, mid movie chase scene, but not the not the end.
He does a lot of like weird kicks in this movie too, as like as offense. Like he does like a literal drop kick against somebody with 2 feet at their chest or whatever. And then he does that like weird flip where he does like a
finish
forward
him.
Roll. To kick their chest or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, does that do anything? Just like punch their jaw in or something, or with your foot. Like this is the same impact.
Yeah. He had combat issued boots. Like you could probably do some damage with those things.
Yeah.
Not the flippy.
Jonesy, your thoughts on the boot scenes?
You know, kick flips are dumb, in general. I really don't like when they're used in movies. They're supposed to be like big stunt work. It's like somebody doing a roundhouse kick, you know, something you never really do in real life, but you'd see in a movie. So I didn't particularly like it, but how good did his hair look in that beanie?
Oh, God, I was gagging for it.
With that beanie, just tucking that hair behind his ears, made those ridiculous martial arts much more feasible, I think.
Oh, yeah.
One of my biggest pet peeves in movies is the Neverending Magazine. And I think Tom fired something like 61 rounds out of that that handgun that he had. So,
oh, yeah. Speaking of, that's a great point, Jonesy. Just during the whole motorcycle sequence, like before he got on the motorcycle, when he escaped the facility, got on the motorcycle, I mean, his body would have been hamburger meat. There's no way. That might have been the most missed shots against a target in movie history, because that man outran the scene from Commando. Maybe had less bullets than that scene, because he is just like walking on water by the end of that, because he didn't take one shot. Terrible.
Yeah.
terrible villains.
I looked at Josie right after your comment. He's got this like giant yawn.
Yeah, he's just yawning.
No rebuttal to that whatsoever.
That movie, even you describing the motorcycle scene puts me to sleep.
Yeah.
The movie was long, too, I feel like. I feel like it was 2 hours.
It was a two-hour movie, yeah.
We could have done 123
minutes.
Three IPVs in the time it took us to watch these two films.
And the bummer was, well, it was all a bummer, right? So, but it was cool that Ving Rhames got to come back, but I think you can definitely see why they started thinking about a Simon Pegg type character, because that Australian guy that he recruited...
Zilch.
Even though he was in it for maybe a minute and a half total the whole movie, you're right, he was a total zilch. Like, he disappeared on screen. His jokes didn't land. He was there to fly the helicopter shore, but he was a part of Ethan's team, so they should have made him a little more memorable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he was just nothing. He was nobody, unfortunately. Yeah. Sorry, you know. It was a working gig for this guy. I'm not telling him. I'm not saying he was a terrible actor, but what?
But you're not. They did saying it.
But what he did on the movie was just, you know, it was very unmemorable.
The next Mission Impossible film wouldn't hit until 2006.
Wow, another big gap.
Several years, and I think it follows that same path because Ghost Protocol wouldn't hit until 2011.
I think there was just one more observation I wanted to make about this movie, mm-hmm. and I definitely didn't notice it at the time, but maybe being able to go back, the Thandi Newton character was kind of a bummer, ultimately, because Ethan originally has to recruit her because she's a master thief, and you get to see her in action, but ultimately, she serves no purpose as just, you know, the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't ever get to be a member of Ethan's team or ever get to steal anything. She didn't have to steal the Chimera virus from Doug Ray's, you know. So it was just kind of like she was not utilized, I don't think, in the best fashion. And it was kind of a bummer because
she became kind of like the Bond gal character.
She completely did. Like, she was almost not able to handle her own. Like, maybe she was out of her element because she was a cat burglar. So she doesn't fight or shoot guns, but I think she could have been better served to the victory, but she just wasn't. I mean, other than she injected herself with a Chimera virus, but anybody could have done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a bum.
Anybody.
Bummer.
Next on our list.
What is it?
Vanilla Sky.
Oh, man. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
Are we recording next weekend?
Vanilla Sky, and if we're doing a double shot like we normally do, Minority Report.
Are you kidding
me?
God, nobody talks about Minority Report anymore.
No, they actually don't.
But they should. Unreal film.
Safe Space, I've never seen it.
You've never seen Minority Report?
All right, here we go. Now, all of a sudden, we don't support each other's friends?
Okay, here we go.
Slim, if you edit out the gagging noise that you just made, I will not. I would not.
Oh, man. I loved it. It sucks because he's like so reclusive, but I would love to just see some long form interviews with Tom Cruise about his career. Like, he never talks bad about any movies he's in.
He doesn't.
He doesn't talk about like other movies he watches, but I'm waiting. Like, I wonder how far away we are from, you know, a New Yorker, or not New Yorker, or maybe it's New Yorker, but like some magazine doing like this really long interview with him. God, there's got to be so much information in his head, in his life, that you'd love to read a book about. You know? Like little anecdotes or meetings with other people, what he thought about his movies. Like, God.
Yeah, even just his thoughts on, you know, just being positive about everything. Whatever is his driving force to do that, whether it's just because he's so in the public eye or whatever. But he just, you know, you never hear him. You hear tons of people speculate about him and all of the stuff that he's got going on, but you never hear what keeps him positive and why doesn't he ever, you know, why doesn't he ever waste energy on the negative?
Right. The last 10 years or so, I'm trying to think of like whenever the last Scientology stuff came out, where like the tapes of him at their events, and I guess that was it, where he just like shut out non-PR media. But like, man, love for that to change at some point in the near future. I mean, I'll wait as long as it takes.
We'll wait, Tom.
But who knows?
We're here for you.
God. Come on, Tom. Tom, do it on our show.
Jesus.
We'll have a nice long chat. 8-hour episode.
My God.
Released over the course of a year.
We come from a place of love, Tom. We don't want, we have only you to wait for.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about Jack Reacher Never Go Back.
Actually, let's not, let's make a promise.
Unless you
want to
give us the inside story on Never Go Back. I'd love to know more about that movie.
I'd love to hear some behind the scenes. I mean, because you probably had, you know, you're firmly planted in believing that it was going to do good. You know what I mean? For whatever reason, it did not. But that's for us to talk about.
We're in a comfortable place here with each other. I had like a midlife crisis while seeing Jack Reacher Never Go Back in the theater. I was in full on panic mode in that theater.
Jeez.
Panic. Tom, let's talk. We want to get through this together.
Yeah. I'm here for you, Tom. Tom, safe space. I've never seen Minority Report. So. But that will be rectified for next episode.
Oh God, we are entering a golden age here, my friends. Vanilla Sky, Minority Report, Austin Powers and Goldmember.
Ooh.
The Last Samurai. Collateral.
Yes.
War of the Worlds. Mission Impossible 3.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The hits keep coming.
Remember that? I feel like
1967 Shelby GT350 Mustang. He drives in War of the Worlds. He had a thing for Mustangs. He had a 68 fastback in Vanilla Sky.
Is Austin Powers getting its own episode?
I think it's, I didn't think of it until I said it, but he does have a cameo in that movie. Maybe we need to watch it.
I mean, just like the first movie he ever did, he was only briefly in it.
Yeah, it's true. Even though I totally forgot and thought he was the lead every time I talk about that movie since then.
Oh yeah, you
sweet
totally
little eight cheeks. Yeah, totally together in that living room.
God, those butt muscles.
Oh, Tom, come on to the show to talk about that actor's butt muscles. What was it like on set?
Were
that
you
night?
There during that
during the pumping
filming?
When the mother wanted to join in.
Never
when
seen
the
a
very
woman.
Bohemian family believed in love.
Boho.
Tom would have the time of his life with us. All right. So we'll see everybody next time. Thanks for listening. Share the show, you know? Share the show with Tom on social medias.
Yeah.
If you're friends with Tom's PR people, you know, pay it forward. Send him the app. The good one.
The one.
Yes, that he gets it.
Obviously. Remember that, kid? So what you wanna do?